Hi, I'm Mac.
Hi, I'm Abigail.
And this is Unsubs. This is the podcast where we recap, rate, and review all 324 episodes of Criminal Minds. You know, we're over like a third done. Shit, look at us. Sort of. I mean, like, we've done over 100.
Yeah, for sure. Because there was an episode called 100. That's how we know.
I totally interrupted you, but it's okay.
It's okay. It's a little loose, fast and loose tonight. We're talking the T. Curry episode.
My favorite kind of curry.
Season 5, episode 23, the end of season 5, Our Darkest Hour. My fun fact is that my coworker is abandoning me and going to a different office for more money. So, like, that's fair. That's fair. I'm trying to rush through this recording because tonight I have to make a whole ass chicken pot pie for him. I have to do it tonight because my husband is available to help me. I want to write quitter on it.
Aww.
So I'm a pretty good cook, but the finer details of things are not great. And I want this to, like, very obviously say quitter. And I'm afraid if I get in there and I'm trying to, like, it's just going to look sloppy. So I'm like, husband, you have to help me. This is why I married you. And he was like, that's hysterical. Let's do it. So that is my little fun fact.
My favorite coworker who, shout out. She also quit this week.
Because you were leaving and she couldn't hack it without you.
Well, she's leaving and then I'm leaving. And it's just a sad time for our favorite coworkers to be abandoning us to the plebeians. That's not true. I like my coworkers, but come on.
The hoi polloi.
The work besties are gone and it's sad.
Well, at least we have T. Curry in the house tonight.
We got T. Curry in the house.
Do you want to share our rating criteria?
Oh, yes. Our rating criteria is as follows. Each episode can score up to 100 points. Breaking it down into these 5 different categories, each of these categories can max out at 20 points. So those categories are criminal/serial killer, character development/character arcs, forensic/context, script writing, and background characters.
And we are in no way, shape, or form associated with the television show Criminal Minds. We are just really big fans.
I'm ready for you to take us away.
Oh, shit.
To Curry Town.
We open. And I've got bad news for everyone listening, because it's Leonard Cohen time.
Do we not like Leonard Cohen?
We do like Leonard Cohen, but the voice grates on me. And this is like prime Leonard Cohen time with this fucking
prime grating time.
Long ass intro. And he's like, if you want a lover, I'll do anything you ask me to. And if you want another kind of love, I'll wear a mask for you. And I'm like,
oh, my God.
If you want a lover, I'll do anything you ask me to. And if you want another kind of love, I'll wear a mask for you.
We're watching Shots of California. Ever heard of it? I was literally there this year. Golden Gate Bridge. I was there. We see signs for Oakland and Santa Cruz. And again, I was there. I went to both those places. And oddly enough, we're not actually in this part of California, which is kind of like mid-Bay Area California. We're in LA, which is like 4 hours from this area of California. 4 to 6 hours from the area of California that we're seeing signs for, which is bizarre. California is a fucking huge state, y'all. And anyone who's gone there or lives there knows that, like, you can't just be hopping from San Francisco to Los Angeles. Like, people take planes, okay? So this, either show us law or don't. Like, make up your mind. So we're driving through the night in LA, or law, as my friend calls it.
Law.
Law. I just saw him the other day and I was like, law. Actually, I made a joke and I was like, do you need your umbrella? And he thought it was really funny. So we're in a van and we're in law and we're watching an unknown subject smoking a cigarette. And we hear over the radio that there's a heat advisory for Los Angeles. It's 110 degrees Fahrenheit. Any of you other people out there in the world to use Celsius, that's 43 degrees Celsius. So that's fucking hot. People have that AC cranked, and we learned that the officials have declared shifting blackouts to try to prevent the power grid from going completely offline. Essentially, different cities will have to take turns having their power turned off overnight so that the electrical grid doesn't, like, explode from overusage. And guys, it goes without saying, this is just to say, the unsub is Tim Curry. And for those of you who are like, I've heard of the name, probably most iconically famous, and I know that he is like, doesn't like to be, it's not that he doesn't like to be associated with it, he contains multitudes, you know, he's got other things going for him, but he's kind of like clocked as this one character forever because it was so iconic. He was in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
He was Frankenfurter.
Don't get strung up by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover.
I was about to ask, actually, as a fun fact, what was your first introduction to Tim Curry?
I was with my ex boyfriend when I was like, God, I don't even, how
before
young
I met
was
you,
I?
Right?
Yeah, I think I was like 12 and he was really into Rocky Horror Picture Show. And so we watched it in his parents' basement and then we had tortellini from a bag, which I was like, this is weird, but it was really good. And I've been like chasing that bag tortellini high, but I've never been able to replicate it because that shit just overcooks or undercooks. This is blasphemous, but I'm not a big Rocky Horror Picture Show fan. I love Damn It Janet. I know the songs, but I'm not like a big musical person. Like there, I have my diehards that I love, but I also think that I may be put off by Rocky Horror by how much he loved Rocky Horror, which is shitty. I may want to revisit it because I just every time I think of it, I think of, you know, him.
I, as we know, as gentle listeners know, I love Rocky Horror. I was in a production of it back in October for a shadow cast. I played Janet. It was a lot of fun. Actually, this is a maybe a deep cut. My introduction to Tim Curry was narration, because he narrates the audiobooks to the series of Unfortunate Events.
No shit. Oh my God.
Yep, that's my introduction to Tim Curry, is his lovely voice.
Yeah, he's got a great voice.
Oh my God, yes. But on film, I think my introduction to him was as Mr. Body in the Clue movie.
Oh, so good.
He does not have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, which I think is fucked up.
He's amazing. However, there are some elements of this episode that are a little interesting with him as the choice. And we'll get there when we get there. But I do have some questions about the logistics of everything. Tim Curry has gotten out of his Leonard Cohen van because he's your man. Jesus Christ. And he's standing outside a house and he's like kind of surveying it. He lights another cigarette and we see the lights in the house get turned off because they are scheduled to be part of the city's town blackout. He immediately drops his freshly lit cigarette on the ground and heads towards the house, which I have so many issues with. One, don't smoke. It causes cancer. We know this. Two, if you're going to smoke, don't waste cigarettes. He literally just lit it. Three, don't litter. Don't litter. Don't do it. And four, I didn't even write this, but this is like California, notoriously known for like being super dry and having water crises and fires. And he's just dropping it up. I am so triggered. And we are 2 minutes in, y'all. We cut to a couple inside the house that Tim Curry is watching and they're lighting candles and they get into bed and she shuts the windows and then he gets up and he's like, oh no, we're going to have the windows open. We're on the second floor. What could happen?
What could happen? What could happen?
Well, I'm going to tell you what could happen. Cue a loud banging sound from downstairs and the couple's like, fuck. And the man grabs a fire poker. I wrote, Durham County DA can suck it. Kathleen was killed by an owl. Hooty hoot hoot. and the man... Just wanted to throw that in there.
Hoot hoot.
I've got some fucking opinions, y'all, and I'm not afraid. This is my platform, so I will say what I want. The man tells his wife to wait upstairs, and she doesn't, like, you know. And they go downstairs, and there's no one down there. And they're like, okay, it was probably just a branch. And they go back upstairs, and the window is closed. And the wife is like, did you close this window that I just opened? And he's like, no. And Tim Curry is there. Knock, knock, open up the door. It's Tim Curry. Cut to BAU headquarters in Quantico, Virginia, and JJ introduces the team to the case.
Home invasion homicide last night. Officers found Gregory Everson, 56, beaten with a GSW to the head. His wife, Colleen, was equally beaten and raped repeatedly.
Repeatedly?
That's what she reported.
Wait, she survived this?
He chose to keep her alive.
An intentional witness.
Everything but that points to an organized offender, an experienced one.
Wait, was she able to identify him?
She said he was white, with mean eyes and repulsive breath.
Rotten inside and out. Did he rape her in front of the husband?
Yeah.
One home invasion rarely warrants Strauss personally sending us out.
No, there's more. Ballistics match a double homicide, downtown LA, 48 miles away.
Where 3 days ago those two women were raped and killed.
But last night was in the suburbs.
They're afraid of another night stalker.
Rotten inside and out! And we learned that the ballistics of this crime scene matches a double homicide from 3 days ago, where two women were also assaulted and killed. So, of course, law is concerned about another night stalker. Listen, it would have been very easy for Abigail to do a deep dive on the Night Stalker. I've seen the documentary. I don't know if you have, Abigail, but...
I actually still haven't. I've been meaning to, but...
You don't need to. I firmly believe that people should not watch that, like, piece of shit. Cut to Tim Curry standing on a hill, and he's overlooking the city. And this is where I start to have some issues, okay? The dramatic music starts, and Tim Curry is not, I don't know how to say it nicely, but he's not a spring chicken anymore, and he's not in good health. Like, we know that he's not in good health.
Yeah, this was, like, prior to his stroke.
It's not detracting from his acting expertise, But there are some things that are said later where I'm like, this man is not running around and doing these acrobatics you're saying he is. CM writers are like, no, I want the scene my way, and to hell with Tim Curry. And they make him go up on this hill, and he's trying to get down, and he's just like shuffling slightly and like dismounting really carefully as the music swells. And you could tell that he's like in a lot of pain or very uncomfortable or like nervous about falling over. And I'm like, this is so unnecessary. He's scary enough as he is. Let's get a shot of him just standing there looking over Law. But instead, they make him go up on the hill just to get down the hill. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. But just wait. It gets better. We cut to the BAU private jet.
Hey, girl.
We're talking about how Tim Curry climbed up the side of a house to the second floor bedroom window.
They were outside of the room a few minutes when they came back. He was there.
He distracted them.
So he could climb through their bedroom window.
And I'm like, no, girl, he didn't. Like,
girl, he absolutely did not.
No, girl, he didn't. I'm sorry. My man was struggling to get down that hill. And he's not climbing up like a fucking spider, like Spider-Man climbing up to get to the second floor window of these people's house. I'm sorry. I feel bad because he's sick and he's old. But like, canonically, yeah. Tim Curry is like a ninja in this episode. And I'm like, either like he's either hire someone who could
become a stunt double. I'm sorry.
No, but it's unnecessary. Like, he doesn't need to. He could just break into a house. He's so scary. He doesn't need to be doing these like feats of extreme exercise that we all know him at this age is not capable of. I'm sorry.
But we've seen Rocky Horror. We've seen him strutting heels. Oh. He can still do that. And I'm like, honey, it's been over 2 decades.
Yeah, and he could do it on like flat ground, but like there is no way after, and the entire episode he's just kind of like shuffling. He looks like he's in pain. I have problems with this.
Tim Curry, I love you so much.
We love you so much, Tim Curry. I'm sorry that they made you do this. They were like, let's switch it up. Let's change it, because they think he's going to be downstairs when really he's upstairs. Like,
when really he's yelling over the side of a house in a window like he is Spider-Man.
He's on a fucking hoverboard. what was that fucking thing in that Turfs novel that they did where they disappeared? He disapparated. Okay, anyway.
Oh, Turfs novel. I was like,
I would like to just refer to her now as that Turf. Anyways. Where are we? All right, we're at the latest crime scene. Oh God, I was funny in this recap, I think. Anyways, Morgan and Prentice meet Detective Matt Spicer and Detective Adam Kurzbard. So Spicer and Kurzbard tell the BAU about the rolling blackouts, and they start walking through the events.
Matt Spicer, Adam Kurzbard.
Hi, Emily Prentice. This is Derek Morgan.
Hey, thanks for flying out.
So what have you got?
Got our hands full. This guy's been across the city in a week. Seems completely random.
You don't think it is?
We're robbery, homicide in Newton Division. The first two Vics were right in the middle of it. The only thing that brought us all the way out here were the bullets.
And the assault. All the victims were raped. DNA match? He covers up.
The Eversons were in their bedroom upstairs when the electricity went out.
So the unsub cut the power? No. They've got rolling blackouts scheduled. Trying to get through this heat wave without the whole city going dark.
So, is that why he came out here?
Well, people are afraid of the dark. Probably preyed on that.
Okay, so the lights go out and this guy starts banging on the door.
Why give him the heads up like that? Why not just break in?
He probably likes getting their adrenaline going. Makes for a fun fight.
Sounds like he got one. Wife's real shook up. I don't think she's going to be much help.
The BAU convenes at LAPD. The LAPD station.
The LAPD.
Reed and JJ discuss how I gotta keep it together. Reed and JJ discuss how Matt Spicer quote, and his partner are like the go-to guys in the robbery homicide division. And I'm like, yo, Reed, his partner's name is Adam Kurzbard. We just learned his name. Just because his last name is hard to say doesn't mean that we shouldn't say it, okay? Like, I know Spicer rolls off the tongue, but come on. This is Kurzbard erasure. Later, they start calling him Kurz, and I'm like, Jesus. Oh, due to the high level of violence, the BAU know that Tim Curry's been at this a long time.
Hey, Garcia, I got JJ here.
Praise the gods, Los Angeles has a weirdly low rate of home invasion burglaries. I snagged a case in Westchester where a guy violently knocked down the front door, kicked the dog, and took off with the TV.
Breaking down the front door sends a message. He's trying to intimidate the victims.
Yeah, and it's horrible as this dog kicking burglar sounds.
I think the guy we're looking for is even more horrible.
Garcia, this unsub said practice, a lot of it. Maybe not in LA, but he's definitely done this before.
Word, this is not his first crime party.
I can't find a single case in LA that equals this level of emotional destruction.
We need to expand the search to all of Southern California. It could be in other cities with a quick ride on the freeways.
Yeah, we'll do.
Garcia cannot find any unsolved cases in LA that are remotely this disturbing. And Reed tells her to expand her search to all of Southern California, specifically focusing on cities and towns that are close to the freeway. Cut to Glendale. We see a woman pull up to her house. She can't get the garage door open because there's a blackout. She opens the front door, hurries back to her car to take her son Carter out. When she turns around, she sees that the front door is like wide open. So she had just like kind of opened it, but this motherfucker is wide open. And like, not to harp on this Tim Curry thing, but my man cannot move that quick. Like, she's turned her back. I'm so sorry. I feel so bad, guys. He's like the fucking Flash. We cut to a news report and we learn about Annie Dancy, who was murdered and she left behind the young child, which is her son, Carter. And we see T. Curry watching the report. And we cut to Annie's home, and the BAU is piecing together the fact that this unsub utilizes the rolling blackouts to hunt. And Hotch asks if LA had any blackouts last summer, and we learned
if law had any blackouts.
Oh, I apologize if law had any blackouts last summer. We do learn that law does supposedly have these blackouts every year.
So the power was out 10 to 1?
All the same tricks.
Forced entry?
No.
Were there rolling blackouts last summer?
Oh, just about every year.
Anything like this happen?
Well, crime always goes up when it's hot and dark. But this? No way.
Hunting in the dark's definitely part of his signature. Garcia.
Yes, sir.
I need you to check if there were any clusters of home invasions in previous summers during rolling blackouts in California. Look statewide.
He left a message this time.
First time for everything.
You think he's welcoming us?
Who knows? At least he's telling us more with each crime scene. Uneducated.
Made the kid watch.
Sadistic.
Trash is the place, even though there's not that much to steal. Angry.
Chooses to hunt and kill in the dark. Doesn't want to be seen. Why?
Also, T. Curry left a message. It says, hello there, but there is spelled wrong.
That's okay. Not everyone can spell.
Rossi's like, he's uneducated! And Kurzbard is like, he's sadistic! And I'm like, Jesus. Morgan and Spicer talk to Annie's son, Carter, and Morgan starts, like, full-on questioning the kid, and Spicer cuts in, and it turns out that, like, Spicer is really good at talking to kids.
What you got there? Is that a robot?
It's a monster.
Monster, huh? What's he doing?
He's protecting you, right?
He's gonna make the man stay away.
Did you happen to get a look at that man?
Or was it too dark under the bed?
He moved me to the closet. My mom told me to close my eyes.
Would you mind showing me how you did that?
So you didn't see him at all? Once that man left, what'd you do? Did you get back under the bed?
I didn't want to leave her.
you were scared. Hey, Carter. Do you have like a really cool backpack? You could throw some things in to take over to your cousin's house?
It's in my room. Will you come with me?
You bet. Hey. Look, I'm really glad the kid didn't see anything, but it could have been helpful.
But covered his eyes like that. That means he couldn't cover his ears.
Spicer asks Carter if he has like a really cool backpack, and Carter's like, yeah, actually I do have a cool backpack. Spicer's like, okay, go get the backpack and let's get the fuck out of here. And Morgan's like, I'm glad the kid didn't see anything, but talking to him could have been helpful. And Spicer's like, listen, if the kid covered his eyes the way he showed us he covered his eyes, he could not have covered his ears, which means that he heard everything. So now we get to the T. Curry profile.
Forcing a child to witness the assault of his own mother is clearly sadistic.
No shit.
Wow. He destroyed the boy's innocence and took away his childhood. This probably mirrors the unsub's own experience. The message that he left us was misspelled, which says he is not well educated. Killing in the dark is a must for him. We believe that's why he's in, you know, why he's come to law. That and his willingness to kill random people tells us that he's an opportunistic offender, and these types are incredibly difficult to predict. The dark is his signature, it's a habit, and we'll find that he's always killed this way. One of the LAPD officers, or the law PID officers, goes, because he's a coward, and Hotch goes, to some degree, yes. He also has intimacy issues, so he even turns photographs away from himself. It's unlikely that a man like this has been in any kind of relationship. There's also a good chance that he has some type of, like, shortcoming, whether real or perceived. He's obviously self-conscious about something. It could be a physical deformity. It might be small to us, but it means everything to him. Having that one thing that sets him apart from the norm could be what led him to extreme solitude of a violent schizoid personality. I don't like that they use that phrasing at all. He takes his victim's power away, literally and figuratively. He feeds off of making them powerless. The press has named him the, quote, Prince of Darkness.
Yes! All hail before him.
And Hotch says, once we unravel his need for darkness, we'll find him.
Oof, all right. So Spicer and Morgan drop Carter off to his aunt's house. And Spicer promises to Carter that he will find Tim Curry one way or another.
Carter, I will find Tim Curry.
I will find him. I will go to England if I have to. Carter tells Spicer that his mother tried to fight T. Curry and asks Spicer why she did that. And Spicer's like, duh, Carter. She was trying to protect you. Also, Carter does have a cool backpack. It's kind of like a purple-blue color. It's very cool. Spicer and Morgan fight about Carter. Morgan wants to question Carter further. And Spicer's like, there's nothing else you're going to learn from him. And Morgan's like, what makes you a child interview expert? And Spicer's like, well, when I was a kid, I lost my parents. And Morgan's like, hashtag relatable, bro. Me too.
Did you tell her that we're going to need to talk to Carter again tomorrow?
He won't remember anything.
We have psychological markers, things that can help him out.
You want to make him relive it?
If it will help us catch this guy, yes.
You saw him. He feels helpless, weak. There's nothing he could have done about it, but he's going to keep blaming himself.
You know, Carter didn't reveal that much. How come you know all of this?
Because when I was a kid, I lost my parents.
How?
Drunk driver.
And you were in the car?
No.
You seem to have some insight as if you witnessed it.
Maybe because I pictured it 1,000 times. My parents, they were racing home because I was sick. You know, if they hadn't left right then, they would have missed that intersection. There wouldn't have been a red light.
Yeah.
I lost my father when I was 9 years old. He was shot and killed right in front of me. And there was nothing I could do. So I choose to look at it like this. We all have people in our lives. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. But they shape us, Detective. That's why you have that badge. That's why the two of us are sitting in this car right now.
So now, Lopid could cancel the rolling blackouts, but they're not going to do that because the entire power grid could go down. We cut to T. Curry, and he's smoking a cigarette, and he's, like, checking the rolling blackout schedule. Like, he's, like, looking at movies at a local movie theater. He's just, like, flipping through to see what works for him. And we cut to Lopid headquarters, and Garcia calls in with news. What she says is, I'm about to rock your world, and I'm like, okay. She's found that the UNSUP has been traveling around the United States for the past 26 years. She calls him, quote, the worst she's ever seen. And I'm like, every goddamn season with this, he's the worst I've ever seen. Oh, my God. And I'm like, girl, it's not that deep. Like, give us 23 more episodes and you'll be fucking eating those words. Honestly, like, they don't need to be the worst I've ever seen. They just need to be creepy as fuck. Like, he already fits the bill, but okay.
Yeah.
So apparently he shows up during blackouts, he robs, he kills, he leaves witnesses, he breaks hearts, and he never hits two cities twice except for law. Cut to T. Curry smoking crack. He makes these like duct tape armbands, he be styling, and then he takes off into the city for a big night out. Cut to the latest crime scene, and Spicer calls Kurzbard Kurz.
We're Kurz. Did you leave a message?
Son of a bitch left a baby in there.
Alive?
Yeah. Baby?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Hey, what's up?
Everyone will have power tonight.
They called off the blackouts.
After what happened earlier, we can't give them that again.
Great, I'll tell the press.
Thanks.
We're talking over 200 houses in 26 years.
When he started in San Diego, it was all about the robberies.
By the time he got to Orange County, he robbed and assaulted his victims. First murder was in Long Beach, and he left a witness.
He got away with it for 26 years. Why did he come back?
T. Curry has hit over 200 houses in the past 26 years. And if he got away with it for 26 years, like, why is he coming back? Prentice circles back to the two women who were murdered before the blackout started. And Kurz, because I guess we're calling him that, says, oh yeah, that's Shootin' Newton. Implying that the area where the two women lived was a high crime area where gunshots were common, which is trashy. And so the BAU goes back and looks at the UNSUP's first kills, and they find a murder that matches the husband being killed and the wife being left as a witness. And then the second murder after this is a double homicide in Santa Monica, and it almost looks like T. Curry is repeating a pattern. And Morgan is looking at this second murder in Santa Monica, and he's like, Spicer, do you have family there? And Spicer's like, yeah, that's where I grew up. And Morgan's like, Joe and Sylvia Spicer were the two victims. And Spicer's like, you're joking. And Morgan's like, no, bro. Like,
and I'm like, you're joking.
And I'm like, are you joking? Those are Spicer's parents. He thought his parents died in a car crash. They were T. Curry's second victims. Spicer was the first child that T. Curry left alive during his killing spree. And guys, T. Curry is obsessed with Spicer. Like, T. Curry loves law, but T. Curry loves Spicer. Spicer is, like, reeling from this discovery. And Morgan's like, we need to do a cognitive interview. And Spicer's like, that was 26 years ago. Like, you just destroyed my life. What good is this going to do? And Morgan's like, no, we're just going to do the interview.
When Carter said that the UNSUP made him watch from the closet, you flinched.
And you didn't?
This guy is taunting you. He left a young boy alive and now a baby. He wants you to know it's him.
How could I not know?
You did, deep down. But you went through a major trauma as a kid. You believed the story because it was easier.
And now what? You want to make me remember what really happened?
I mean, come on, it was 26 years ago. What good is that gonna do?
I'm just gonna try and trigger some memories by walking you through what happened that night.
All right. Should I close my eyes, or if you want?
I just want you to try and relax.
And then he's remembering that T. Curry was like, "Hello, Poppet," to him.
Hello, Poppet.
He actually said, "Hello there." He was more like, "Hello there." I can't do it. My voice is shot. Anyways, T. Curry is trying to get to Spicer. He's written on the walls what he told Spicer all those years ago. And Spicer was in a closet with his baby sister while his mother and father were being, like, brutally murdered in the room. T. Curry wants recognition because T. Curry thinks he turned Spicer. We got a lot of, like, we're cooking. We got, you know, we got spices. We got curries. T. Curry wants recognition that because he thinks that he's the one that changed Spicer's life and turned Spicer into a cop. And now Spicer's this big deal cop with his partner, Kurz. The BAU realize that Tim is going to attack Spicer's sister and daughter, who are both conveniently in Spicer's home. Cut to Spicer's residence, and Morgan and Spicer show up, and his daughter, and Spicer's daughter Ellie and his sister Kristen are MIA. And there's a news article about Spicer that's, like, displayed on Ellie's bed. And Morgan's like, "Oh, she's probably at your sister's house." So they start heading there. And then Morgan's like, "Wait a minute. No, that's probably at your old house." Then the entire power grid goes out. Because remember, the Lopid decided to not turn the power grid off. So the power's out. The cell service is out. Morgan and Spicer had told everyone to head over to Spicer's sister's house, but now they're going in a different direction and they have no way to communicate that they are now going to Santa Monica, like a different town. So everyone else rolls up to Spicer's sister's house, and that's not where they're going. So Spicer and Morgan go to the house in Santa Monica, and they walk in and they find that the new owner is dead. And Morgan is creeping through the house, and he and Spicer decide to split up. And Morgan goes into the bedroom where it all happened. So we're talking the bedroom where Spicer's parents were murdered, and he was forced to watch with his sister. Morgan finds Kristen, who's Spicer's sister, and Ellie, who's Spicer's daughter. They're in the bedroom, and they're tied up. And Morgan is like, "Where is T. Curry?" And T. Curry knocks him out. So Spicer shows up and Tim Curry pulls a gun on Ellie's head. So picture this. Spicer's sister Kristen is on the bed. She's tied up. She can't help. Morgan is tied up. He can't help. Spicer's got a gun. T. Curry's got a gun. But T. Curry's got the gun pointed at Ellie, who's Spicer's, like, very young daughter who's around Carter's age.
Drop it.
You first. Drop the gun.
Please, Daddy, listen to him. Don't let him hurt me.
Spicer, don't do it.
It doesn't kill children, you know that.
You sure about that?
Just put it down, Matt.
Oh, put the gun down or she dies.
Don't give in to him, man. He's not going to hurt you unless you surrender. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Drop the gun.
Please, Daddy. He's squeezing me. I can't breathe.
If you put that gun down, you lose. He will kill you.
Put the gun down or she dies.
I don't even think that regionally was the right British. I'm so sorry. Put the gun down or she dies.
Put the gun down or she dies.
I feel like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
God. Anyways, so Morgan's like, "This is a bluff. He's a coward. Spicer, don't put the gun down. If you give in to him, he's just going to kill you and take Ellie." And T. Curry is like, "Don't listen to him, love." tell me I'm a bad actress now, Abigail. And Spicer's like, "I'm going to listen to him because he's got a gun to my daughter and I'm an idiot, but I'm a hot idiot. But my life's just been fucked up today. So it's understandable that I'm going to make bad decisions." So he puts his gun down. T. Curry wins. So T. Curry makes Spicer get down to his knees. He compliments Spicer's sister. He says, "Your sister grew up very pretty." And Spicer realizes he's going to die, and he looks at Morgan, and he's like, "Promise me, Morgan, that Ellie's going to be okay." And Morgan's like, "No, like, this is ridiculous. Why are you doing this? Pick up the gun. He's a coward."
"You've destroyed me. Is that what you want to hear?"
"Well, it's better."
"Promise me she'll be okay, Morgan."
"Go ahead. Promise him."
"Do it. Promise him."
"Promise me, Morgan."
"Okay. Okay."
T. Curry shoots Spicer and takes off with Ellie. And as he is leaving, he smells Ellie's hair, and he's like, I don't normally like kids, but this one's special."
Gross.
And Morgan's like, "We will find you, you son of a bitch." And we end on a little cliffhanger.
A little to be continued.
Yeah, TBC. Oh, goodness. Okay, so what's your deep dive, girl?
Tips and tricks for power outages.
Oh my god, I love this!
And then we also have the surprising effects of power outages on mental health. So let's start with that one. That's the heavier one. So this was from 2017, I believe, from Adelphi Psych Medicine Clinic. In September of 2017, Hurricane Maria, wrecked the power grid in Puerto Rico, caused widespread blackouts that lasted for weeks. And so here are the exploration of several effects of power outages on human safety and behavior, including mental health. Stress is the first one they talk about, how, when we don't have the conveniences of a fridge, stove, microwave, lights, and other essentials, that can cause a lot of stress. And people struggle with anxiety as their perishable foods are put at risk. People may not have access to enough water or to hot water, which stimulates anxiety related to personal hygiene.
May I butt in here to say that as a fish mama, it's a whole nother level of, not to denigrate anyone else, this seems shitty, but I lost my power this morning, and I almost didn't go to work because of how stressful it is to keep my fish alive during a power outage.
So the next thing they talk about is social isolation during blackouts, and apparently the elderly actually suffer the most. For elderly as well as single people and families, there is a fear associated with isolation, fear connected with the risk of robbery, physical assault, and looting as well. People enduring a blackout slip into patterns of substance abuse, and if they have had issues with substance abuse before, they can relapse or be at a higher chance of relapsing and become worse. Studies show that emergency room visits from substance abuse problems actually increase during a blackout. And the last one is post-traumatic stress disorder. According to research conducted after Hurricane Katrina, 30 to 50% of the hurricane survivors suffered from PTSD. Next, we have power outages, just some tips and tricks. So they say that you should keep freezers and refrigerators closed. Use a generator, but only outdoors and away from windows. Do not use a gas stove or oven to heat your home. Disconnect appliances and electronics to avoid damage from electrical surges. Have alternate plans for refrigerating medicines or using power-dependent medical devices. Check with local officials about heating and cooling locations near you. Have flashlights for every household member. So yeah, that was from ready.gov. So thank you, Homeland Security.
Also, I don't know if I ever made this abundantly clear, but my blog's original intent was like for adulting, and I have a blackout post about what you're supposed to do.
I do. I'm going to want to share it.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. Yeah. So I have some other tips, but they had good tips. So mine was you need a first aid kit. You can get one on Amazon. Make sure you have flashlights that are working and you have batteries, or you can get a rechargeable lantern from Amazon for $25. Like, those things are great and they last forever and you can use them to charge. Make sure you have all your toiletries. Make sure you have bottled water and non-perishable foods. You should have these things anyways, just in case there's a, you should have like a little box or something that you keep under your bed that's got like, you know, bars and canned goods and things that don't go bad, just in case you're unable to get to the store. If your home is freezing and you go several days without power, which is something that happens to the area of New York where I live a lot, to prevent your pipes from freezing, just leave your water running in the sinks so that they drip a little bit. You don't have to leave them blasting, but just let them drip, and that will keep your pipes from freezing. But listen, girl, we gotta rate the episode.
Yeah, because you got a pot pie to make.
I don't know. Like, I don't want to give it a 100, but, like, this episode kind of slaps.
Do you want to give it, like, a 90?
I think I want to give it, like, a 90 or a 95. Because I know we gotta give Spicer and Kurzbard 20s, because they really worked hard to get that.
Do you want to give Forensics in Context a 15 because of the fact that he's like limp, like he's like clearly not a spring chicken?
Yes, yes.
And I give everything off a 20.
Yeah, give it a 95. I think that's good. And again, like, we're just because you have some sort of impairment doesn't mean you, like, that's going to prevent your ability to act. What we're saying is if you're telling us that this man is climbing up and being fast, and then you're showing him struggling to get down an alleyway, then I'm not going to believe it. So I just think they could have mitigated that in different, like, am I crazy? Like, just have a shot of him looking menacing. I don't need to see him walk. He's terrifying. I trust that I know that's enough intention for me. So
my original complaint with this episode that I didn't share was that I was like, you hired Tim Curry and we didn't get to see very much of him. But then I realized that we get two episodes with him, so I'm not mad about it anymore.
We are going on break, and we're taking a rather long break. We're actually taking off until September 1st. Shock. Shock and awe from you guys. But we will drop our trivia episode. We will drop a best of episode, so you'll at least get some content during that time. But Abigail is about to go to school. She's doing it again. Oop, she did it again. But more money this time.
Yeah.
And I love doing this, guys, but I've basically spent 6 hours editing every single episode, and I have some other hobbies I've been neglecting, so I'm really looking forward to having a full month off where I don't have to edit every single day. So, we're sorry, we love you, we hope you'll continue to listen, and even listen back to old episodes.
It would also give some time for people to catch up.
All right, well, we love you guys. Follow us everywhere. Follow me, yournewpartment.tumblr.com.
And you can follow me at Between Stage and Screen Podcast and all streaming services.
All right, bye.